brought down three poems I'm going to read to you tonight. And the first poem I'm going to read is an elegy that I wrote to my late grandmother. It's called For Nana in Remembrance. For Nana in Remembrance, for Nana back. What cannot be cured must be endured. That was your philosophy. Knowing your time had come, waiting for God to set you free. Even in your final days, when death was drawing near, heaven now within reach, your fate, it seems, was crystal clear. You held this conviction till the end, despite years of misery, the countless burdens of the past, pain, loss, and tragedy. Every now and then, I think of these words, how they were so wise. Though our bodies turn to dust, our spirits never die. The next poem I'm going to read to you is another elegy, and this one is about my mother's foster brother, who, like my grandmother, came from the west of Ireland. And one of my main aims in writing this poem was to try and capture the sense of character and the kind of person he was. So hopefully that's what will come across when I read it to you now. It's called The Guest from the West. The Guest from the West of Paddy Mitchell. Every so often, he'd come from the west, backpack on shoulders, casually dressed. My mother's foster brother, my uncle in a way, not a care in the world, he lived for each day. He'd tell the tale and the weather report of his army days and news of sport, how he cracked his skull and still survived with a breath of fresh air when he arrived. He claims that at 15, with catapults in hand, he fired at the headmaster with his elastic band. A piece of rubber hit him right between the eyes, expelled as a result, but life soon made him wise. As fit as a fiddle from the bike he rode, cycling back and forth from his humble abode, his illness came as a surprise, as he fought the pain he could not disguise. Homesick and weary, he felt truly trapped. Then, the inevitable, his temper snapped. He headed home, left his pills, gave in to fate. No one could save him. It was much too late. I can picture him at heaven's gate, the pain now gone, having carried that weight, pulling pranks on St. Peter, doing it in style, watching the world's high drama with a radiant smile. Thank you. I'm going to end now with a very different kind of poem. It's a sonnet that's based on the pleasures of walking in the countryside, and it's simply called Sonnet for the People. Sonnet for the People. Together we have walked these evils, you and I, through wind and sleet and sun and snow, alone or side by side. To some, it is tradition to do this every day, some kind of ritual to pass the time away. It's more special to me, a chance to ponder destiny, walk by the riverside, breathe in the country air, dwell on life's beauty, care not for its respect. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening.
Thanks very much for that. Next up, we'll have Michael Deneen, please. Just one note there, and we might just, for the moment, keep it down to one or two poems each. No disrespect yourself. It's just because we've got a lot of people on listening, right?
Thanks. Yeah, I'll just read two poems. One of them, slightly old, from newer. First one is called In the Warmer. In the cornerhouse bar of winter gloaming, and of death in the cornerhouse bar from Cobra Street. The loops of day loop into night, and street lights stiller, flicker, and hum, sparking instincts, constellations on the river's darkened skin. And the soft work of conversation winds its way around the town. The years settle like concrete across your body, while it sits framed in glass. The boys from Cooper's Yard, arrayed in age from apprentice to master of craft, their beards the arcane insignia of once disbanded army. You blink and can see yourself amongst them, while they tease and break the wood into shape, through the steps of a phantom dance, round skirts of metal and sleeves. In the present is just surface tension. It breaks as the water rises. A grey horse shudders beneath the sign of a heavy load, and tongues catch words turning voices that echo your own. And the second poem I read is called Talking Dead Bird Blues. Planes are falling from the sky, are stalking concrete ground, beside swarming nests of people, and all the static is choking up the air. The cities grow from paper to concrete, with tendrils circulating binary impulses, and words cue to jump from mouths in a muddle you could not untangle. Horses trace the edge of fields, testing the breaking electrical defences. Their equine, loping, slender canter starts the fire inside of you. Each moment, wind musculature tugs and grows, gnaws and mumbles. Your own fertility gains up with the dawning sun and signs in the entrails of the day's fallen birds.
Thanks very much. Was that your first time here, Lance, is it?
Yeah, actually.
Good job. Great to see you. So we'll have tonight's glorious champion of county champion 2010, Michael Ray.
Life of Shades. She visits reluctant neighbours who shift their daily chores to fill the gravel-crunching moment of her arrival. Fed up with her invasions into their privacy, one couple found use of their kitchen table for noisy copulation, an effective deterrent to her knock. This betrayed us in speculation and shadows, misanthropic peddler of the townland's woes, carefully unwrapping whispered half-truths, her pauses asking for payment in kind. Like a bird, basket in hand, she gobbles every last crumb offered. Then departs, spits the legs cranking round winding bends, green coat glowing the brambled edges, blackberry eyes reflecting a shiny emptiness. Gripping handlebars with the determination of a magpie holding carrion, she tears up Murphy's Hill, head bobbing, before descending out of sight, leaving one field mugged by a grin.
Thanks a million for that. And next up we'll have one of the old stalwarts of Old Vale. The woman who's been there like draw the long ears in the siege.
I swear to God, I have admitted to that woman you were talking about. You can't move without her peeping her head out the window to find out what's going on. So this is a new one, and it's not autobiographical, rather it's more dealing with the physicality of grieving. And I can't think of a title for it yet. Your children are ghost-driven, their tiny voices hoarse. A lamp post, glowing rust, light against dark. Rattle of loose pram wheels, of growing into hearse bones. Your oldest flat on the pavement, his dome cracked open, a blue yoke inside. Dying dream of idolatry of fathers. Your internal clock clicks midnight, midnight, midnight. Sticking up to centrifugal heaven, your dream sign. Look up, a balance of shoes strung on telephone lines, buzzing nonsense. Head spun, starstruck, skull down, in two hands, like the family cat.
Thanks very much, Jen. And next up, Nick Smith, please.
Thanks, Dave. This is to someone called Jacqueline, still shell-shocked after all these years. Early slack, age 53, stood as tall as me, and I only 10 years old. I did not want the stature of a man-mouse to confirm my own, so I made George Robbins my hero. 6'4", Coldstream guard, handlebar moustache, gruff bugger, told us once that what we needed was another bloody war. That would sort us out. Perhaps he was right in that. I fancied his daughter, Jackie. She reminded me of someone. 2 weeks it took for me to pluck up the courage. When I went to her house, it was in darkness except for the bathroom light shining through frosted glass. I knocked on the porch door. The splashing stopped. My mind awash with images. Who's there? Her voice trembled, I think. Me from up the road. Oh. Disappointment flowed between us. She declined my request for a date, so I returned home. The footpath, an aching chasm beneath me. We were friends up to that night. After that, we could never look each other in the eye. We would always know. I fancied her. My cat was out of the bag. So was hers. Her dad was right. War's a great leveller. This is called 200 Lashes. What it is to tear the skin. Scars carried from accidents, inflicted as a boy and man-child. Fingers snipped here, teeth lost there, bones broken, pride restored eventually. The nearest to a flogging, a caning administered by a caring headmistress. Many times, many eternities, blood-red wheels blistered for all to see. An example made for petty misdemeanours. Life goes on. Bibi Sanobar, 48 years old. Her misdemeanour, a widow. Pregnant. Her country, Afghanistan. Her example, 200 lashes. Then shot. In the head. In the chest. Her and her unborn. The mother judged. The men acted. Women, out of control. Men, lost. Take the whip, the gun, the penis, beat them into submission. We are number one, or had you forgotten? Count 200 slowly. It takes a painful, long time.
Society, innocent of false pursuit, or bitter belchings of the truth, never tasting discipline, a raw and complex vitamin, essential for their growth, until it was too late, wild, mad, untamed, unable to be trained, they now lie chained as savage quotes in the merciless sun, who beams upon the exposed throats of those who cannot run. Ah, no, let them be. Portrayed minions of memory. Thank you.
That was lovely, thanks for that. Nate Harriet, please.
because it's just something to cheer you up a bit. You know Joe O'Connor, Joseph O'Connor, the novelist, he has interesting pieces on the radio sometimes. And he had something called Reasons to be Cheerful. So I took it and put a bit of a cork twist on it. Joe O'Connor's Reasons to be Cheerful. With a bit of a cork twist. Lately we're worried, we need advice, we were boomtown rats, now poor as church mice. Pay cuts and NAMA are making us fearful, but despite scarce jobs, there's reasons to be cheerful. Knob Nation on radio, Daniel Day-Lewis, writers in the stole reading to us, Johnny Spillane, the Long Valley Bar, a half of Murphy's, Rory G on guitar, Van the Man's Moondance and Seamus Heaney, Fab Monster Rugby and Puccini, Old Fellas and Pubs Boozing and Blathering, the great Frank O'Connor, and Enright's The Gathering. Barley Cove, the Burren and the Kissamore, Killarney's Lakes and Gweedore, the slow rolling waves of Bantry Bay, you two singing, It's a Beautiful Day, the Triscoll, O'Vale, Pauline McGlynn, Farmers Markets, Rough Magic, A Little Gin, the Opera House, Roy Keane, Colin Tobin, couples romancing out on the green, Elvis singing Blue Suede Shoes, When There Ain't No Cure for the Summertime Blues, Jerry Murphy's poems on Bank Holiday Monday, Cork and Kilkenny and Crocus on Sunday, Ronnie Doyle's The Commitments, and R.E.M., John Kelly's programme on Lyric FM, Dawn O'Brien's The Cliffs of Duneen, Sean Keane from Galway's Revenge for Skibbereen. You may travel far, far from your own native home, but where else would you find a Kavanagh poem? Sweet treasure for all, if only we want it. A riverside walk we take for granted. No need for hurry, no need for fury. Reasons to be Cheerful by Ian Dury. Play the fool and play the guitar, Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Johnny Marr. Hugo Hamilton's novel Disguise, the Crawford, Pauline Buick, Sunset Skies. Brahms, the Beatles, Chips on Cove Pier, Nelson Mandela's 92nd year, Muddy Waters singing, Got My Mojo Working. Read a page of Joyce, then Paul Durkin. Try Marion Keyes, see a play by Beckett. Read Edna O'Brien, or the Bible, sure, feck it. We may as well do it since books can be cheap. They can't stop us reading. We can either smile or weep. Vince or Banville, whatever you feel, Pete McCarthy or Phoenix or Brian Friel. So it ain't all bad, there's reasons to chuckle. There's Bishop trying the couple of fuckle. The banks would give you a pain in the belly. Bring back Neil Delamore's Republic of Telly. So the second government is out of touch, but whoever's in office don't matter much. Recession, depression, the figures, the facts. The stuff they can't touch, stuff they can't tax. They would if they could, but they can't, so they're peaked. They're hurried, they're worried, they're phased, they're freaked. We laugh out loud at their farcical ambition, do what we want, don't need their permission. Or be told how to vote by irrelevant fellows. Just listen to Martha and the Vandellas. Soon it'll be summer with dancing in the streets, and we'll still be here when they lose their seats. When our dads were young, there were 100 years. There were slums in the cities, emigrant tears. So the boom's now bust, but we ain't going back. Don't get depressed, it's not all that black. Yeah, we live in a country where it rains and it pours, but we have floods, not tsunamis, no earthquakes, no wars. We don't have a famine, unpayable national debt, and the spooks don't waterboard us, at least not yet. There's Crane Lane, Munster Lip, the Lark in the Park, trees in photo, beach fires in the dark. We're not back in England at the time of emergence of Maggie Thatcher and the Tory resurgence. Now we're not up there with your Norways, your Swedens, and other such comparative Edens. But it's a free country still, as free as your Hollands, thanks to Clans Balmichael Collins. Paramilitary is nearly gone, peace in our homes, and Mark McGuinness writing poems. The Reverend Ian swallowed his pride and showed a friendly, more feminine side. The polls are going, there's a strain on the purse, but all things considered, it could be worse. We're a shook up, mixed up, post-Tiger nation, sorely in need of some consolation. But just look around, you'll see it's all here, a kiss at midnight on Dingle Pier. Our loved ones, our families, our kids, our mates. The National Library's exhibition on Yeats. But the Jazz Festival, don't be downhearted. Here's to George Bush and he departed. West Cork in summer, the National Museum. We've reasons to be cheerful, you just have to see him.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you. Delphine. The victor who danced in Delphine confided, my partner loves gin, but I circumvent each tango I spent sidestepping occasions of sin. Read at your convenience. This is just to say, I'm sorry you finished off my cordial. Just to say, moreover, not nearly as sorry as you will be soon. It's thirsty work up in that balloon at the mercy of Mother Nature over the windy Epsom Downs. The salts should be kicking in about now. Forgive me, but I borrowed your umbrella. Health and safety. QE2. Passengers, deck upon deck, resplendent, concordant, shooting day trippers and lovers who pan back at Hawaiian clad masses, and each sheltered lifeboat snug tight in her davits towers over the evening. A trickle of coaches where leprechauns buy for room with cut crystal. The brass band strikes up each high radar scanner, warming and twirling to the bright marching air, as blunt tugs stand off, each reading a bite of umbilical line, 1 hour to depart from her deep water berth. And finish with this. Ringsend. There was an old man in Ringsend. This diary his missus had penned. A lover with style goes that extra mile. So far, I don't have to pretend.
Longings and needs. We both have bad days and good. But believe me when I tell you that today I feel as I should. We may look different, act different, be different, but I hope that I can trust you to just let me be. Just as I am, who I am, not alone, not crowded, just me. Be gentle with me, empower me, give me my voice, hear me.
In modern day Cork, per pro, some bearded, weirded guru, hot off the Pat Kenny show, I meandered over Panna. There, dangling some mad lyric over the waters of the Lee, was young John Spillane. Betwixt and between, whether to coin or join the phrase, in half English or Irish, for the lark in the lobby on Saturday. You're a fog of my shoe, my tosh, I quipped, and meandered on up into York Hill. Who faces up to me? The mad dog himself, a foreman in a dog team. Says I, Bill Doe, McDill I goes, will we ever have talent in Cork, I muses, leaning up against the railings of that Fiona Wasserface's house. She was a Wilson in Scarborough, but they said at Rada, Shaw sounded better. Shades of GBS. You know, the fella who referred to dancing as vertical expression of horizontal intent. Malcontent that he was. Good though. Hope the bishop's down on the bike. Who's that in Dino's? Well, how are you, Jimmy Mac? Any old songs by? Not by. Between Christine Moore and Mara O'Connell, Dave Donnan and Daniel O'Donnell. I'm looking for bleeding stuff. I've gotten for myself. Well, hell, Jimmy. Does I vote for Thomas? A pie supper and two fish cakes is like your one. Jesus, next thing I see some scribbling in the back of a major box. These ignorati literati, they'll steal lines from anyone, anywhere. More shades, this time Eliot. The immature writer writes, the mature imitate. Won't forget me when the royalty check arrives, Jim, says I. Up your bio, Mert. He guffaws his way across the road into the AIB bank. Such a waste. Why didn't he stick to the jockey, eh? Since he didn't have the size. This second short poem was written, well, I'll ask, is there a Murphy in the audience?
Is anyone
in the audience got a Murphy? No, okay, that's great. Because if so, it's not about you and me. I wrote this having heard a program about the Magdalen laundries. So I'm using the metaphor, which you'll understand in a second. But I was quite moved by what I heard, and it drove me to write the poem. I'm going to put it in the context of a tribunal, a courtroom tribunal, because it is probably going to come to pass at some stage anyway, bearing in mind the Ryan report and what's going on. Would the witness for the prosecution please take the stand? Name, please.
Paddy Murphy's underpants.
Speak up, man.
I'm Paddy Murphy's underpants.
Proceed.
I'm Paddy Murphy's underpants. I could just as well have been Mary Murphy's knickers, for all the nuns cared at the Magdalen laundries. They saw great wrongs wrought in that place. And if all the myriad other underworld of underclothes could and would speak up, they'd clog the justice departments of Europe for many years. We'd bend their ears and strike great fears, call in arrears, re that nun duggery. And the redress board would rue the day they sent their knickers far away to the Magdalen laundries labour camps with Paddy Murphy's underpants.
Okay, next we have Roy Taylor, please.
Can you hear me now? This one is kind of either two or one with two parts. My best friend's getting married and he asked me to write a poem on love. So he wanted me to do it with her and him, so this is it. Her. There's a whole host of imagination to be had with her face, and I think that I will join her and escape fully into the lovely earth brown of autumn, when together we float from the trees as they shed our life to ground, to be stepped upon, or trampled, or simply bypassed by the alive in this world, and the ground fertilised by our dreams. But the trouble is that out with being in love with her, I see her eyes staring at me, still blue, clear light sunshine, and I see them when she's absent. I call to her and she drifts out through me, leaving only the hope and dream she is in love with me. Him, sorry. I would think it easy that passion could come like war, like fire. A man would easily fall and allow themselves the pleasures of love, but it often rebels inside and they choose another, a treacherous path. Because of this, it is sacred and absolute love, sacred the absolute love of man. And like a crushed flower, should be pressed inside and kept in care until joined by her in the grave. The gift of red wine allows that man in its true form, sacred and balanced. A man will look to the wives to educate them in motherly tenderness and emancipate them their soul from the extreme male, to bring to them a place where they can exist in exact equilibrium with the animal and the land, and to take them away from the instincts that dictate hatred and war, force and war, away from all perceived then and back to something bare and real. But man is fickle and looking for love. They enjoy the sweet sound of its heartbreak in the hope that their moment will be the only moment, and search the faint wild sunset for its eyes, where often at the right time will be flashing before us their acceptance.
Help me with that. I'll just finish Darren DeCaneda.
One Irish, which is untranslatable. It's the title poem of my new book, Blachter of the Sherkin, which is the love detective. And he's an unusual character. I suppose he's maybe 50s, 60s, obsesses about women, their form, their function, their features. And it all rhymes. And this Blachter of the Sherkin. Beníon blachter in a shirtier cup on tail. Tá tochas ar a veggel. Cúil mí chodhanna ar íntin. Dén a dércach an dúl ar a grándol. Fosca fiachfar on a fult. Gluas gís gánach in a gluin. Calug caike in a caum. Tá sígal hálin. On a vé banún in a bún dún bín. Óðan sé brainín tail. A cosa cos nochtahe mar chied shark, gach lúdín e glúba an os ledán, lora galáv e gloska chricken, lashri tíden tí agas e dámnahe. Dírián blachtan an a shirke en dí. Sinne bí waig treis lá cruig ibri, tí, agas sinere, cupán tí, ach, Tá grúig e glisgurach an aigne, bod a cúra fulá in a veldane, miarút viog in a mion gaude, tseise a meawr mórtasach, kiel canahe in a candánachta, fwysach fanvar in a fadili, tá se fokáta. Tá drídrum te kate sirge, ashling all in an angil fósigúl a hín, Glamorous glorver gan glan room, she van she do the hotelachta in a gauz ail ihe. Do she an blachtere the yet, pot the tape for the mord. In a ron a dulcin ish, in nor a hen neltuch nab obelta, on she van a skigert fee. Couldn't say she's in kittlerist. Mar in my hean beer in the blingode ae. Capon te oor, agus ban, boon, brimach, edde, e coordach na mantelish. Mana, un mysteer nor rate to share weav, achas blachtere ae, e fissruin fall nach vintia, di lawn ruin. This is a poem that I was commissioned to write last month by Troker through Poetry Ireland. They wanted a poem to put on display in the spoken word tent of the Electric Picnic. And they looked for commissions, and They asked for it in Irish, and then I knew they wouldn't have a fucking clue what I was actually writing about, so I kind of did a translation of it that was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't too happy with it. I felt it was better in Irish, but anyway, they're after printing the two of them now, because they had a fucking clue what I said in Irish. Anyway, Fahu, it's about sustainability and poverty. It's me and Shiel, Marim in an Almchid. Tachate igre cruig an anishe, spala tartarum gan borsach, bahin clown gan deke. It's me an tubber in loran asig, on tishke a hirim lawn drichter, fuinche kochtach shiri, bahin pobble tartar. It's me an ho an os tauris o ye, glas Gainach le galli, ima choli sa kishtin bioc, bahin daun an agorsan. It's me an skuld skartje le a hochad an tiv, ma le an ii biad a fien uch an faulam ha, bishan kuri an vochtanish, bahin canada an tau chi. It's me an ghalar, a bishan an spreid, an vreotach de kialian an seil, Kesum koch lem nib, bahim ska and durchadish. It's me and boss, nor frishen clown leite, gach she second gan true, leish me and rohre, mar bahim anolus and hurcher marfach. I am the seed, I live on little, buried in the hard soil of misery. Dying of thirst without rain, I feed a family without begging. I am the well in the center of the desert. Magical waters flow from me, an eternal power source. I feed a thirsty community. I am the cow like a gift from God, the magical cow of the moon. Living in the tiny kitchen, I feed the neighbor's calves. I am the school with the key of life, my little children mad for learning. I break the ditch of poverty, I feed the leaders of the future. I am the disease that breaks the spirit, the sickness that cancels life. I persecute everyone with my poison. I feed the shadow of darkness. I am the death that doesn't make headlines. Every 6 seconds without mercy. Cure me, brothers, for I feed ignorance, the deadly bullet.
Mercifully short, mercifully sweet. I just went reading about the plenty of those last couple of months. Music down. I cannot find words or time to describe you. Make yourself some tea, sit down by the carriage clock that seems the hour. How do I know you? Got it all. I see the final point from falling to extinction. Beauty never lasts long enough to appreciate its vain glory. I love you so much it hurts. As you remain by the fire alone, I see the blood between us rise and overflow. Don't take me the scene, just relax. Rest with me a while. The winter sunset grapples through the attention of its service. Switch off the sun. Let us rise to cold occasions where nothing is demanded.
We're going to have one last super special treat in Paul Gately.
this week. Thanks, Marcella. It was great. I spent a few mornings in March running after hares in a caravan park in Yule for a film that we were making. And had absolutely no luck, and then went up to Rackham Islands a few months later, and in one day just got the most incredible shots of hares. But in researching them, they're quite magical creatures, really. And so I had to write a poem about that. There's just one word in here, superfetation. Does anyone know what superfetation is?
No, I know
it. It's when you can get pregnant when you're already pregnant, right? So it's like a second
incubation.
It has happened in humans, actually. Within the first 4 weeks, there's a slight chance that that can happen, and it has happened. There are things that are called superfetal twins, whatever they are, conceived a few weeks apart. But hares do this quite regularly. So it's called Into the Irish Hare. This is about trying to film hares. For Sam Thomas and Ian Dewick. One, magic hours in March. Seafields Caravan Park, Yule. The pre-dawn vision of a resolute filmmaker bears one witness to the unfolding world, who feels something more than hopeful, eager, to meet a genuine Ice Age survivor. It's one of three, thriving mad in this new age of the mobile home. He's assured by the survey of 2007, as over 500,000 hares were then resident, 7.66 per square K, thanks to spells of superfutation, over double the previous years. Though not all Irish hares are Irish either, he hears. Now, 3 years later, for three misted mornings, he'll stalk the spring sunrise, savor each resonance while treading through a city of abandoned caravans. Freeze. There they are. Lepus timidus hibernicus. Feel ridiculous as their heartbeats enter and slow him. Show him the conviction of hesitation. Be it here. Be a hare. He'll reach for his ancestral shapeshifter there, but whisper instead, what about some lovely carrot ends? A nice fresh lettuce just for you, my two friends. Morning, Jack. Morning, Jill. What about posing for a poetry film? The twitch, the blur of grey ground to quarry, the chase. It's the large heart in the hair that gives it its speed. Large from thigh to ear. Large from eye to moon. His camera lengthens to a spear in the stilled wind. Its sharp point pierces the empty frame. 2. A hot day in May, Rattan Island Anthem. We knew by moonlight he would come. Now we smell the heady stealth, weigh the seismic footsteps, clattering man truces, sea wave heartbeats. We'll wait. We'll surprise him over the hill. Our whole tribe appear closer. See him into the dream. Vanish, reclaim him, until he sings, bows down. There's just a small one called Thai Food. It's a cinquain, which is just slightly longer than a haiku. They say... Did you hear that? Did you hear that? No? Yeah. Yeah. Very simple.
Wasn't good enough for
anyone. No. It's easier than I care. It's a lazy poem. They say Queen Siricates turning tanks into fish, war into artificial reefs. Makes sense.